moving on to the regular agenda item discussion and possible action on fiscal year 2008 comprehensive annual financial report. John Hawes, CFO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is a January meeting so that we have our annual report presented to you. As you know, our fiscal year ended on August 31, and we prepare our annual report each year in accordance with the GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association guidelines to apply for the award, reporting award in excellence from the comprehensive annual financial report, which, by the way, we received for the 21st year this last year. So, and we continue to do so and expect to continue to receive that that award. You received a copy, of course, of the detailed CAFR in your materials. And I'm diligent, and I'll just take a few minutes to go through some of the highlights, and then I'm going to introduce Ben Cunley, who is a partner with Grant Thorne, who's our external auditor, and Ben has a part of the presentation also. As you can see, the first item there was the we'll go through the purpose of the annual report. Certainly, as maybe y'all know, this is present fairly the financial results of the operations. We do it in accordance with GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Principles. We follow GASB, Government Accounting Standard Board pronouncements. And then also another report in addition to the CAFR is the what we refer to as the single audit report, which covers our federal and state grant programs that are selected to be audited and have to be reported and reviewed. See, some of this is certainly familiar to y'all, but the difference between the CAFR and the budget is, of course, the CAFR is on an accrual GAAP-based system in accordance with accounting principles, and of course the budget that we go through each quarter is really more of a cash, or you could almost say a modified cash type system. So there clearly is some difference, and in just a second I'll show you the schedule that'll sort of detail out the differences and the results of those two things. Certainly the budget is more a prospective document looking forward, where obviously the CAFR is a document looking backwards. Next slide. The particular report that we prepare each year really has three major sections, and again, you went through the introductory section, which includes information about the organization. It includes a transmittal letter sort of summarizing the prior year results. Then you get into the financial section. That's more the standard section. It includes the MDA management discussion and analysis, as well as the financial statements themselves and the notes to the financial statement, including some supplemental information that's required. And then the last section is a statistical section, with a number of schedules at the back which are designed to give the reader information on a multi-year basis of the trends and results of both operations and finances of the organization. As you look at the results, again, you may remember when we had our October meeting and our fourth quarter results for the budget, you can see we start the 2008 year, we had a budgeted projection of $1.4 million, almost $1.5 million in surplus. The actual budget had nearly $13.5 million in surplus, really driven a lot, as you can see, by much more by the revenue, by additional revenues that we had for the year, which were a combination of significant additional water sales, and some contracts that we had. Expenses were under what we had budgeted for, so overall we had a significantly greater surplus. The CAFR has a surplus of about $10.4 million. And again, you can see down below how I reconcile the $13.5 million back to basically about the $10.5 million. And I'll just take a second to go through some of those. These are summarized. There's a lot of detail underneath these, but these are the five major sort of categories. First major difference between CAFR and budget is depreciation versus debt service. On a budgetary standpoint, we actually include a reduction for the repayment of principal on our debt service for budgetary purposes, because of course that's cash out the door. For GAAP purposes, you have to record depreciation. So you basically take out the principal reduction and put in the depreciation. The depreciation is almost always greater than the repayment of the principal. In this case, $4.2 million greater, so that's an additional expense that comes out of the budgeted number to get the GAAP. Recognition of deferred revenue. We collect, sometimes we, especially with our cost reimbursable customers, we over-collect monies because we estimate at the beginning of the year how much money to collect from our cost reimbursable customers, and then at the end of the year, we true that up. So that number really represents the net of over-collecting funds that we did, that we then hold for them and then apply next year to their contributions. So we end up deferring that revenue. We count it as revenue from a budget standpoint, but then for GAAP purposes, we basically have to reverse that and defer it. So that's a reduction also. Capital contributions net. Again, we receive some contributions throughout the year based on capital projects. The majority of this is with our Swats plant, where we put in a 30-inch raw water line this last year and received reimbursement from our customers on that capital project. Again, that's budgeted in the capital budget, not really going through the operating budget, but for GAAP purposes, you have to recognize that as revenue. So that's an add that's an addition to the budget side. And then capitalized interest income and expense. Again, we don't capitalize interest income expense from a budgetary standpoint. We just report it in total. But again, from GAAP standpoints, you're required to do so. And you have a lot more capitalized interest. You're basically deferring some of your interest in the future years for GAAP purposes. So that's a reduction in expense there. And then the last item, expenditures and others. We do have some items that we capitalize for budgeting purposes, or we show in a capital budget that we know at the end of the year we're going to need to expense, because they're expense types items, and those expenditures then get reduced, reduced the budgeted number. So that's how you basically work your way from the budget to the accrual-based capital. Any questions about that? So I'll tell you quickly, that's some general direction. This just shows a trend. It's sort of high level some of the major key indicators for the last 3 years. You can see operating revenues have gone up pretty steadily in the last 2 or 3 years, primarily driven by sales of raw water, that we've had raw water to sell and have done so. Plus, we had one large contract this last year with Gulf Coast Water that converted from a fixed price to a system rate at much higher rates, so that drove higher income. You can see our operating expenses substantially have been pretty steady and substantially the same, up a little bit this last year due to some additional cost in the utilities area, energy area, as well as some additional cost of raw water from some water we buy from LCRA, some other things. Interest expense, you can see, is pretty steady as you look in the middle of the state. About the same investment income has gone up and down. Some of that is based on, we had some bond proceeds that we took in 2005 and 6 that drove some of our interest earnings up in 2007, but as we spent those proceeds down, came back down. So there's a little bit of a blip there. Other non-operating items, you can see in 2006 a negative $5.9 million was really driven by the disposal of the, I would say the disposal, but the transfer of the Sugarland facility, which we had back in Sugarland. And when we did that, there was no cash impact to us, but when you wrote it off the books and removed the debt, it created a net loss from that transaction from a book standpoint. So it wasn't really an economic loss, but it was an accounting loss. And then this year, we had some additional expenditures due to settlement. As you can see down, so the net income loss, you can see it really does fluctuate sometimes, but usually that's driven, as you can see, by the non-operating items, the sort of one-time items that we have is driven it to some extent to sort of broken down. And the working capital, which really represents, that's the difference between our current assets and our current liabilities, and really represents what we have on an uncommitted basis available to be spent. And you can see it's gone up nicely, especially this last year. It's gone up with the additional revenues we've collected and such. And then total net assets down there, you see, of course, has gone up by some $10 million. Again, that's really driven by the net income of this year, $10 million, took from $131 to $141. Any questions? If not, I will introduce Ben Cunley. As I said, Ben is it's partnered with Grant Thornton. They have completed, this is their fifth year of auditing our financials on making the year's presentation.
Thank you, John. Good morning. You should have a part of your hand up. It should be in purple. talks about board of directors meetings, the agenda, and you can actually follow with me there. Feel free to take notes. Certainly, it's going to be on the screen if you'd like to follow there. Now, first of all, I want to say thanks, really, to certainly Phil, John, Matt, Don. The list goes on. A lot of people involved in the audit, and I want to thank them up front for their cooperation and helping provide us the information that we needed to ultimately complete another successful audit of the law. So thanks. The agenda, I thought the key things to cover today, certainly review the reports to be issued. And there are two of those. I'm going to go out and discuss those in more detail. Now, the results of the financial statement audit, what I believe to be the key highlights from the audit. Financial highlights, I'm not going to spend too much time there. Obviously, John has spent quite a bit of time going through the financial highlights just in advance of me to avoid being duplicative. We'll probably just go that through that area in a pretty high-level manner. Management advisory comments, I want to update you really in terms of the status of the prior year. Primarily, we had no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies this year requiring communication to the board, so that's great news. But I do want to update you on the status of some prior recommendations that we've made. As John mentioned, you know, compliance audit, OMB Cert 3133 single audit. I want to talk about the results of those. There's various required auditor communications that we're required to make as part of the audit communication to the board. And so I will cover those. And certainly, your questions are extremely important. Be happy to answer those. And I'd say, from my perspective, treat this meeting very informally. Feel free to ask questions as we go throughout. There will be time at the end if you prefer to save until then, but if you don't need to, feel free to ask us as we go throughout the document. I mentioned two reports. John has covered the comprehensive annual financial report, and that's really the CAP he was referring to. The second report is the OMB, which stands for Office Management Budget, Circular 8133, single audit report. And again, that's the report on your, as a recipient of federal and state grants, part of the provisions of those. We don't test every program as a risk-based approach, but we certainly cover the compliance aspects of the programs that are required to be tested. I'm going to communicate the results of those to you in that second report. In terms of the results of the financial statement audit, really the key highlights from that is that we are rendering an unqualified, clean opinion on the financial statements. Obviously, that's the desired opinion, and we also are issuing clean reports on the three reports, not only on controls, but on compliance. As I mentioned previously, we had no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses noted. In the current environment, because of the changes in the rules, that has become a high standard for a lot of organizations, not just public companies, but even governmental organizations, not-for-profits, private companies. That's a higher threshold. To be able to say that in today's environment certainly says a lot towards management and their attention to establishing quality controls. No scope limitations. And I really think from the board's perspective, the important thing there is that we were able to perform whatever audit procedures that we felt necessary in our professional opinion to be able to render an opinion on the financial statements as well as reports on compliance and controls like the A1383 without obstruction. They provided the information for the question. We could talk to everybody we wanted to. It was excellent cooperation with the management. There are no unresolved audit issues. Certainly, it's important to communicate the results of the audit before the report is finalized. That's what we're doing this morning. Upon approval, I will be signing the opinion, and those financial statements will be distributed as well as the A133 report. And as I mentioned, continued open and effective communication with management, which we're appreciative of. The next section, especially because John's covered much of this morning, I thought it always makes sense, at least from my perspective, to at least include the financial statements in a very high-level format in the document. You can actually see the 2008-2007 as a percentage of the pie, really not much change there if you look at the asset side of the balance sheet, and actually total assets went up a little bit, 08 versus 07. You do see some increases in net capital assets, and of course that's net of accumulated depreciation and some classification differences, but essentially the balance sheet on the asset side largely resembles 07. In terms of liabilities and net assets, the other part of the equation there, but again, it's very consistent. You actually, as John indicated, you do see an increase in net assets, and that's your assets, net of your liabilities, largely attributable to some revenue increases. You had mentioned 08 versus 07. You actually see the operating revenue that he had mentioned portrayed on the next page. Really, about a almost a $5 million increase in total revenue, 08 versus 07, which is excellent news. And then if you look at the other side, next page, operating expenses only had a modest increase. So the net revenue increase, if you will, offset the expense increase, resulting in an increase in your net asset balance year over year. In terms of management advisory comments, again, as I mentioned, one of the highlight, no material weakness or significant deficiencies noted. The things that we've communicated to this board as well as to management in the past on things to consider, probably most prominently last year, especially really in all environments, but certainly tough economic times, the risk of fraud has increased within organizations in an area that unfortunately we read about a lot in terms of internal control efficiencies really resides in the PPR program. But happy to report, as we discussed with management, looked at the changes they made this year, they have implemented all the recommendations we provided last year, which is great. Of course, there's always risk in organizations broader than this, but if you look at most risks, most organizations in terms of fraud risk, it deals a lot with expenditures, and we feel that if you have strong controls around your traditional payables process and segregation of duties between people that are allowed to set up vendors and approve payments to vendors as well as PFAR activity, you go frankly a long way towards trying to mitigate any material fraud risk to the organization. So certainly compliment management with making those changes. Performance measures is a difficult one in this particular sector. Obviously, each authority is a little bit different. How they establish contracts, charge rates, et cetera, is different. We think that something that management should continue to look into. I think from a board audit committee perspective, one of the questions that I get periodically is how are we doing against others? And you can evaluate what the key measuring sticks are with respect to your organization year over year, and certainly evaluate your performance against yourself. One enhancement may be to include some information where you can give comparable information to other organizations that may provide some input to the board. So consider that one in progress with discussion continuing. But anyway, I think very certainly happy with the progress management has made on our recommendations over the 5-year period. In terms of the major programs selected for testing and the results of the OBC 2133 audit, there's really a risk-based approach, as I indicated. Not every program gets tested every year, but based on size of expenditures, past results of audits, we have to evaluate which programs meet the higher risk criteria as required under a four-step approach that we execute under OBC 2133. This year, there was two federal programs and a state program that were required to be tested as major programs. You can see the two federal programs listed in the top half of the page and the state program at the bottom, the Clean Rivers program. In terms of the summary of the single audit results, happy to report that we noted no instances of non-compliance. You would never provide absolute assurance because we never test every transaction. We certainly perform testing not only on large dollar amounts, but we also try to do arbitrary or judgmental samples on other portions of the population to be able to say that. And so certainly no instances of non-compliance in terms of the items that we tested. As I mentioned on the CAFR side, financial statement side, we noted no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. We also noted none in the OMB Circular 133 report on controls and or compliance regarding the major programs, major federal and state programs we tested. No scope limitations again. The importance of this group knowing that we performed our tests without redirection. Whatever we wanted to perform in terms of testing, we did. Whatever information we requested from management, they provided. Whoever we wanted to talk to, we did. There are no unresolved audit issues. Again, continued open and effective communication with management in connection with that aspect of the audit. Next section are really the required auditor communications. It continues to be some changes, but relatively minor, but these are the things that the standard setters believe are important communications that we should be making to those charged with governance in the organization. It doesn't have ultimate governance responsibility. over this entity and this board. And so over the next several pages, I am not going to go through each one of these, but I think the important thing is if you see none, that's a good answer. So the reality of it is we have responsibility under GAS, which John mentioned, Joe accepted auditing standards. We also, because the authority is recipient of federal state awards, we also have incremental auditing standards we're required to perform, and that's what you see here as GAG, as Joe accepted government auditing standards. There were no new accounting policies that were selected this year for the organization. Management's judgments and accounting estimates, certainly there are some, but if you look at this type of an organization as opposed to a public company who may intend to intentionally manage earnings, the ability to do that with these organizations are not as significant. By the same token, management does determine appropriate depreciation lives for its fixed assets, and there are some receivables and allowance has to be determined, et cetera. But nothing from our perspective, and certainly nothing that we felt as a result of performing our audit procedures, that there was any bias introduced into the financial statements of significance. Next page, again, we'll go through each of these, but frankly, no difficulties and no audit adjustments required, no past audit adjustments, meaning items that we felt that should have been considered things we elected not to make. So, again, positive news. Last page, really, I guess the thing I would highlight would be management advisory and other services. It's required for audits of public companies to disclose that. So this is required in this sector, but I always think it's important as the audit partner to let you know that we were not engaged to perform any other audit services or any services other than the audit in connection with the authority this year, and therefore received no compensation for any other services outside the external audit which we were engaged for. So with that, that's all the prepared comments I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions for Mr. Cohen? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
John and Phil, congratulations on a clean audit. It's a major accomplishment all this audit.
Thank you very much. There certainly, as has been said, there are a lot of people who contributed to that within our organization. If there's no other questions, I'll be happy to answer any questions, but if there's none other, we have a resolution to read authorizing us to release this report to some of the regulatory agencies that we do so.
Go ahead and read the resolution.
The following resolution is presented for consideration at the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority for adoption in its January 26, 2009 meeting. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accepts the Brazos River Authority's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2008 and approves its filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, the Texas State Auditor's Office, and the State of Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts. The Chief Financial Officer is hereby designated to file the report with the aforementioned entities.
You've heard the reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt? Moved by Director Moore. Is there a second?
Second
by Director Hall. Please pull the board.
Presiding Officer DeFlewitt?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bellon?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Breeden?
Aye.
Director Carraba?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Porter?
Yes.
Director Sloan?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Steinmetz?
Yes.
Director Ward?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.